Father, we thank you for giving us a church that gets better every day. Thank you for the choir and all the other people who contribute in different ways to make this beautiful church as beautiful as it is. But we thank you especially for the Holy Spirit, without whom it will all not make sense. Thank you for the life that the Holy Spirit brings into our midst. And we pray today that you will breathe that life into us today. We pray that you will cause every dead thing we have to offer to live because of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit breathe on our preaching, teaching, hearing, understanding of the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, bless us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. Amen. It's a beautiful day, beautiful afternoon, and it's a great time to get to share the Word of God. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church? Wow. It's powerful. Amen. Like I was sharing with you this morning, a church is a very important source of the Word of God, isn't it? A church is like a kitchen that serves the Word of God regularly. A good church is like that. Amen. So it's good to be in the kitchen often. Do you see? So that you can receive the word. Because the Bible says you will not live by bread alone, but you will live also by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Isn't it? So it's the other component of what it takes to exist. It means you're not living a full life until you have added a consistent dose of the word of God. You need regular exposure to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And a church just happens to be one of the places. But in your personal life also, you need to have a quiet time. You need to read the Bible every day. Hallelujah. And whether you understand it or not is even secondary. Whether you enjoy it or not is also secondary. Sometimes you have to eat some things you don't really enjoy, but you need to live. You need to survive. Do you see what I'm saying? Or you've been told it's good for you. That's one of the reasons why we make the kids eat vegetables, isn't it? Yeah. You see, she changed the look on her face when I said vegetables. Yeah. That's why we make kids eat vegetables. And they don't eat them because they enjoy them. But they eat them because we make them eat them because we know it's good for them. Isn't it? When they are grown one day, they will also make their kids eat vegetables. It's fantastic. They'll reap what they have sown. Hallelujah. So you need to learn to live on the Word of God. The Word of God gives you nourishment. It's spiritually nutritious. It nourishes your life and your Christian life. One of the things it also does is it informs you. Do you understand? And when you are informed, you become smart. You become wiser than the average person. And the Word of God has that. It has the ability. There was a verse that says, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" I mean, in today's world, it's not easy to be young. I'm telling you, it's a challenge to be young. You see? Yeah. So to have something that sort of cleanses your path, you know, at the pace at which things are thrown into that path, is a treasure and it's an asset for a young person. Let me show you that verse, Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9. It says, wherewithal. That sounds like an old way of saying, where at all? Or how at all? Do you see? It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Do you see? Yeah, cleanse his way. Because there are many things that are thrown into the way of every growing person. Do you see? Yeah, every growing person. And the thing about growing people is also that they pack a lot of energy. Do you understand? They pack a lot of energy. And so the enemy likes to attach himself to that enemy and energy and to see if he can hijack it for his purposes and to use it any way that he can. Oh, this is the one I'm talking about. Amen. So he says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That means paying attention to the word of God cleanses your way. Amen. Amen. How many of you think you're young? Oh, there are more young people than I thought. Raise up your hand again if you think you're young. Yes, I think I'm young. You can think you're old if you want. Amen. But I think I'm young too. And the Bible says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? How are you going to do it? How are you going to cleanse your way? How are you going to remove certain things from your path? How are you going to avoid certain situations in your life? Because sometimes, you see, it's not that people are bad people, but it is what came their way. Do you see what I'm saying? It is what came their way. Sometimes people look good only because they did not experience certain temptations. Do you see what I'm saying? Certain things just didn't come their way. Do you see? So two ways to avoid something is, one of them is that you are strong enough to overcome it. The other one is it simply didn't come your way. Do you see what I'm saying? But I think that a large majority of people do not experience certain things. And that makes them look good. Do you see? And a lot of people also do experience certain things that makes them look bad or look terrible. But really, the difference is what came your way. The Bible says that the word of God has the effect of cleansing and removing certain things from your path. Amen. If you pay attention to the word of God, pay attention to the Bible, pay attention to the scriptures, to preaching, you know, and listen and try to practice what you're hearing, you will avoid many things. You will avoid many difficulties, many challenges, many things that affect people will not affect you. Hallelujah. That is why he said, look at the next verse, verse 10. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. You see, because I realize I'm young. I'm young. That is why I will serve you with my whole heart. And I'm begging you, let me not stray from this path cleanser. Let me not stray away from this way cleanser. Because I have no hope without it. Amen. Amen. So the word of God is very important. Amen. And the devil will try very hard to keep you away from it. You know, you need to keep an eye out for things that distract you when you try to read the Bible. Does it happen to you? Yeah. As soon as you say you're going to read the Bible, someone will send you a WhatsApp or something. Do you see? And sometimes when you are sending the WhatsApp, you need to pray about it and be led. Yeah. Because the enemy will use you to distract someone. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, and because it comes from you, you look at it. The person will look at it. But I tell you, try very hard not to be distracted when you are reading your Bible. Be determined because you are reading the most important writing that exists. Amen. The devil is going to attack even sometimes the credibility of the preaching person so that it affects the word of God that is coming to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. It affects the word of God that is coming to you. And you need to fight that also because it's a temptation. You know, that comes to people just to come between them and the word that is being preached. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So let's go for the word. Let's stick to the word. And I believe that God is going to bless us. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, today I want to share with you and just to give you information. Amen. So I'm sharing from Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 from verse 19, which is a very popular story. And this is the story that illustrates what happens when people die. Hallelujah. Because a lot of us do not know what happens when people die. And sometimes we're not able to be good witnesses. We're not able to make a strong case for why someone needs to be born again. Do you understand? Why must someone be born again? I was listening to the song and it says, give your life, make him the Lord of your life. See that girl, see that boy, he's born again. Do you understand? Born again for what? Why? Why must people be born again? Well, people must be born again because the Bible says that all of us have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God. We are falling short of the standards of God, isn't it? Yeah. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. 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 And the free gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. That means if we continue to live in sin, we're going to die. Now, this death is not the departure from this body, as we will see in the scriptures, isn't it? Yeah. Otherwise, then the alternative to death, which is the free gift of God, which is eternal life, must also refer to a permanent remaining in this body. Because he said, the wages of sin is death. So if that death is just dying, as in leaving your body, if you know, then it says the free gift of God, the alternative to that is eternal life. Then that must also refer to living here forever. I think you understand that. Yeah. But you and I know that that doesn't happen even to the best of the born agains. Do you see what I'm saying? So then eternal life is eternal life. It is living eternally. Hallelujah. And you don't really have to know so much about the scriptures to know that eternal life cannot be here. Because we, even though the Bible talks a lot about it, we haven't met anyone yet who seems to be experiencing it. Isn't it? So we must be talking about some life beyond this place. And if that part of it is also talking about life beyond this place, then the second part, which is the death, must also be talking about life in some other place. I think you understand what I'm saying. Wow. Some of you look very tired and squinty. All right. Amen. Right. We're going to believe God to have a later service, a little bit later, so that you can catch your breath a little bit. Amen. All right. So, are you with me?
Yeah.
So, that is why people need to be born again. People need to be born again because if you are left the way you are, your sins will earn you a spot in that death. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Your sins will guarantee you because it says the wages of sin is death. That means when you live in sin, you are paid with death. Do you understand? And I tell you, when you've earned a paycheck, they even find you and give it to you. Isn't it? Because you have earned it. Do you understand? And they give it to you without even asking you. They shoot it straight into your bank account because you earned it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So that is why people need to be careful. They must be born again. And the words born again is not a type of church. or a kind of movement. Do you understand? It fell off the lips of Jesus Christ. Yeah, so it's not like some people like to make, you know, are you one of those born again people? As though it's, why don't you even say, are you a Christian? But it sounds like born again people is a sect out of Christianity. Do you understand? Well, if it is a sect, then I'm glad to belong to the sect that Christ himself described. Do you understand? Because the word Christian was not brought by Christ. Christ is not the one who named his religion Christianity. It was people who called the followers of Christ Christians. Do you understand? As for Christ, what he described was to be born again. So if anything at all, we must want to be called the born agains. Yeah. Because at least we know that we are following what Christ said. That a person must be born again. You know, and even when somebody, I mean, can you imagine it? The term is so important that when the person he was talking to asked the obvious question back, what do you mean by being born again? Can a man go a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Then Jesus took his time to explain. He says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. They said, do not be surprised that I'm telling you, you must be born again. Do not be surprised. He said, marvel not. Don't turn it into a confused something at all. Don't turn it into one of those things you don't understand. He said, a man must be born again. It's a must. It's not a highly recommended status. Is not something that is desirable. He said, you must be born again. Otherwise, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So these are the words of Jesus, and it must mean a lot. You see, he said, verily, verily, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then verse 4. It says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I mean, Nicodemus, to this question you're asking, is it a good question? It's not a good question. But anyway, he said, because the term was new to him. And he had to ask the obvious question. Do you understand? Yeah. Then Jesus answered, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So then this must be what he means by being born again, to be born of water and of the Spirit. Wow. Isn't it? Yeah. Then it says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You know, marvel not. You see, don't be shocked. Don't be confused. Do you understand? Don't make this into one of those big theories that create confusion and so on. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Hallelujah. So next time someone asks you, are you one of those born agains? Say yes, and gladly so. Hallelujah. And then end it with, are you? Are you also born again? You know, and it is very important. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. Now, one of the things Jesus did was to tell us a story and this is a real story, because when Jesus was telling a parable, the Bible would typically say that, and he told them a parable, isn't it? But this one seems... He said there was a certain man. So it's like there was a sure man, isn't it? Yeah. Which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. Do you see? And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. See, this is one of the reasons you know this is a real story, because it has every real thing in it. There's a rich man, there's food, There are even dogs for those who like dogs, you know. Even dogs in the story. Do you see? And the dogs are also performing a role. They are licking someone's sores. So there are sores also there. Do you see? And it came to pass that the beggar died. Hallelujah. So we're talking about what happens to people when they die, isn't it? It came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Because really, everybody dies. Do you see? 10 out of 10 people die. If we collect 10 people and set them aside, it's only a matter of time. They will start to die one after the other. Wow. Not one of them will survive. Do you understand? So death is not like an exclusive privilege for some special people or even bad people. Do you understand? We're talking about this death where you depart from your body. Do you understand? That leaving of your current body is not an experience reserved exclusively for any particular group of people. It is not something that happens to bad people. Do you understand? So when you see that someone is dead, don't assume it's because they are bad. do you understand? Yeah. It's something that happens to good people. It happens to bad people. It happens to young people. It happens to older people. I mean, there is no order. Death is not something that operates on a first come, first to go type of basis. Do you see what I'm saying? That you came first, so you must leave first. There's nothing like that. Do you understand? Sometimes the last to come is the next to go. You know, it's fantastic. And then you see some of these people who are even crying for death. You know, when you go to hospices and, you know, places where people are sort of setting on the way to dying, some of them even invite death to come and meet them. It's like, I'm coming to you, but can we make this quicker? Can you come closer and come and take, you know? And sometimes very old people also are like that. Because I can imagine, I mean, imagine living when all your friends are dead. All your contemporaries are dead. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you are left with, even your children's friends are old. Do you see? Because when you're like 80 years old, 90 years old, you know, your children are like 60, they are retired, you know, your grandchildren are having children. Do you see what I'm saying? And you don't really, so who is the president, Obama or Donald Trump? You know, you're not interested in all these things. You see what I'm saying? You're not interested in all these things. And I think that it comes to a point where you start to yearn to sort of see what's next. And you start to look forward to what's next. Because at that point, at that stage of your life, the next big thing is actually your funeral. It's not another wedding or another wedding anniversary or anything like that. I mean, those who are having weddings, they have just come. you know, he has to tell us about this wedding after. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he died. And the poor man also died. Do you understand? He died. The rich man and the poor man. Sometimes there are artificial separations that we humans make just to make us feel good. Do you see? Sometimes when you sit on a plane, you get it. They put a flimsy curtain. And then they count the seats. Just imagine someone doing it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Put the curtain here. Then they put a curtain here, you know. And then they say that these people are exclusive. They're going to get exclusive treatment. And they are very special. Do you understand? Yeah. Meanwhile, we're all breathing the same air that just keeps going around the whole plane. Yeah.
TUC. Yeah. And they make them board the plane first. You know, they put a short red carpet. Very short one. Have you seen those red carpets? Short one, then they put it there. And that's for coming in only. Meanwhile, this carpet that is special for entering the plane is the one, those exiting the plane just walked off it. Do you realize when you walk off the plane, there is no special carpet? You can walk anywhere. So you walk on that same carpet to exit the plane. But when you are coming in, this is after people have just trampled on it and just walked over. Then they just say, oh, but this place is very special. You just come and walk in here and go and take your seat on the plane. Just tricks of men. But when you want to see whether there is a real difference, you need to consider the end. Hallelujah. You need to consider the conclusion. Because really the conclusion is where we draw the line. The conclusion is where the whole thing is explained. That at the end of the day, what does it really matter? Are you following what I'm saying? You see that at the end of the day, the rich man died and was buried, isn't it? And then the beggar died and was carried into by angels into Abraham's bosom. They both died. Hallelujah. So death is an experience that everybody is going to taste. Once you have come, the next thing is you go. Do you understand? Yeah, the only way to get rid of you from here is to go. Amen. So then that, since that is a common experience, that is not what should bother us. Do you understand? Because it doesn't seem like the rich man was able to do anything about it. Neither was the poor man able to do anything about it. Do you understand? Maybe the rich man was able to delay it. Do you understand? But the rich man was not able to cancel it. Do you understand? Yeah. I mean, if you can do anything about death, then you might as well cancel it as opposed to delaying it. Do you see? So the rich man, maybe he delayed it. Because there are some things that seem to be within the power of human beings. And human beings are able to alter it. There's some things. But even then, the Bible describes death as an appointment. Do you understand? And as an appointment that has been made for you. You see, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. Now, because you didn't make the appointment, you cannot cancel it. You see, you don't have the password to it. Do you understand? Because you didn't make the appointment. Only the one who made the appointment for you has the password that cancels the appointment. But until then, you can only dance around and things, and no matter where you are on the day and time, you will just be summoned to keep the appointment. Is it not fantastic? Yeah. So it's because death is not one of the things we can do something about. We leave that to be. Do you understand? Whenever it happens, wherever it occurs, that's what we'll do. Amen. But the next stage, which is what happens to people after they die, that's what we seem to have some influence over. And if that is the case, then that's what we need to strive to do something about. What do you think? Right. So when the rich man died, the next verse says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth father Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Hallelujah. So this is a man who has died, and yet he's lifting up his eyes. So that tells you that that death that he died was for a part of him, isn't it? There was enough of him left that could see, isn't it? Yeah. It is like someone taking off their jacket. You know, you describe me as the guy wearing the, what is this, black navy? Okay. You say, that's the guy wearing the navy jacket. As long as you're wearing it, it forms part of your ID. Wow. Do you understand? Yeah. But there comes a day, or at the end of the day, you go home and you take this off. When you take this off, you are no longer described as the man with the navy jacket. But there's still enough of you left. Do you follow what I'm saying? So dying is just a shedding off of one of your components. One of the things that define you is just that it is the outer layer. So it has come, because nobody would describe you as the man wearing, because I have a white undershirt here. You see it over here. Can you see there's a white thing here? Yeah, I have, but you can't see that. And so you don't describe me as the guy with the white undershirt. You see what I'm saying? You describe me by what you see. Do you see? Yeah, that is what will be. So that is why your body and your person seems to be so important. But when you die, all that would have happened is that you would have taken off just one of your coverings, which is your body, and you would shed that off. But there will still be enough of you left. That still defines you. That still makes someone recognize you as distinguished from another person. Do you see what I'm saying? And that seems to be what is going on here. So in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Hey, being in torments, personal torments, that he means that he is still enough of a person to feel torments and to feel pain and to be able to distinguish it from the sort of experience that the poor man was having in Abraham's bosom. Isn't it? He saw Abraham afar off. That means a sense of recognition seems to remain also. Isn't it? And Lazarus in his bosom. So he can see Abraham and Lazarus. Not two people. Not two men. But Abraham specifically. And Lazarus specifically. Hallelujah. Amen. Now it would seem like in that realm, you will actually recognize people who did not even belong to your time. Because it is very likely that this rich man was not Abraham's contemporary. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But he's able to recognize him, you know, because if you take, like the other day I was sharing with you, that if you were to compare dying with being born, do you see? Then there would be some similarities. Do you see what I'm saying? So, for example, what is impossible, you know, or what is possible when you are in the womb is impossible when you come outside the womb. For example, like living in water for 9 months. Do you understand? It's possible in this life. But when you exit, living in water even more than 5 minutes is not possible. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. So by that same token, you shouldn't be surprised if when you exit this body, you activate another sense. Do you see? You activate another sense that allows you to be able to recognize someone who did not belong to your time. Because when babies are born, they seem to activate an ability to live outside water. To be able to breathe outside water. To be able to ingest food, you know, from another source or another medium. Isn't it? Like they now eat food through their mouth. Whereas before they were eating food through this belly. As soon as you are born, they just close that hole. Do you understand? Otherwise, all of us will be walking around with a tube. You see, when I see you at a restaurant, I just dip my tube into your food. You know, as I'm walking past you, I just pull out my tube and then I toss it into your plate. I push a button and then everything just comes into my belly.
Wow. What a God.
It's an amazing transition that occurs. Amen. Amen. And if you can believe that, if you can believe and accept that, you shouldn't have trouble believing these ones just because you haven't experienced it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that the rich man saw her. Huh, that is Father Abraham. This is Abraham. And that is Lazarus. And he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Do you see? And so he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You know. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue. For I am tormented
in this flame.
Hallelujah. Amen. So now the rich man is campaigning and he's asking, is it possible for someone, Lazarus in particular, to come and dip the tip of, you know, he should give me some of what he has. Because when we were alive, I gave him some of what I had. Do you understand? That Lazarus must have leftovers. Do you see? Yeah. And then Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So what it means is that the life that we live here can be totally and will be totally different from the life that we live or experience when we go to the other side. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It means that being rich here on earth is not the same as being rich after dying. Do you understand that? Yeah. That your money cannot sort of alter the quality of your life on the other side. The Bible says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we'll carry nothing out. Because once we go out, the issues change. What really matters also change. It's like when a baby is born, the issues change. Do you see what I'm saying? If you were a baby, you'd be fighting over umbilical cord, you'd be fighting over amniotic fluid, you'd be fighting, you'd be space, and you'd be, these are your issues. Your biggest issues are space. Maybe even darkness. Do you see? Yeah. And maybe the way your mother is lying is really upsetting you. You don't like the way your mother is lying. Jifa, what are the issues? You must be familiar with some of the issues. Yeah? What are some of the issues? Sometimes you feel like you have provoked your baby, right? Yeah? What are some of the things you do? Really? It says change your position, change your style. Yeah. The baby says change your style now. Yeah. Because sometimes you lie a certain way and say, listen, excuse me, you're lying on my... The baby is telling the mother, listen, you are lying on my left arm. Excuse me. And then you don't listen to him. He says, excuse me, you're lying on my left arm. You say no, then he moves his leg and pushes you. And then when he pushes you, you will just turn. You see, then he says, not so fast. You see what I'm saying? So, you see, the issues change. When you are born, you realize that all the things that you are striving over as a fetus in the womb, all those issues are non-issues in this place. Yeah. That over here, we don't fight over amniotic fluid. No. Nobody is fighting over fluid here. Nobody is fighting, you know, strangulation from umbilical cords. Nobody walks around, or of all the problems we have in this world, none of them is that Pastor Charles is really, have you met Pastor Charles? He's very, very unhappy. What is happening? He said his wife tied an umbilical cord. He got an umbilical cord around his neck. He's really upset. It's not one of the problems we have here. Hallelujah. So you shouldn't be surprised that when you die, the issues on this earth will not be the issues that you have on that side. You shouldn't be surprised at all. Hallelujah. To start with, the Bible says we're taking nothing out. Most of our issues have to do with the things we are collecting here. Isn't it? Those are the issues. So even the fact that we are taking none of them out shows that all the problems that come with them are being left behind here. Is it not the case? Yeah, that's what is going to happen when we die. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he says, Abraham says, son, in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted and you are tormented. Hallelujah. I thank God always, you know, this verse must encourage us as Christians. You know, the early Christians, they were able to endure all kinds of things because they had their eyes on this comfort. They found this comfort, you see, worth the short endurance. Do you understand? They found it worthy of whatever they had to go through to attain that. Because it looks like the life before is always shorter than the one you are being birthed into. The one you are transitioning into looks like a long time. It makes the one before very short. Is it not the case? Compare 9 months in the womb to how old are you? 40 years old? Think about it. What is 9 months compared to 40 years old? 40 years old looks like eternity, and it's not even over. For many people at 40, they are just halfway through. Halfway through. I mean, so compare 9 months with 40 years, and you start to see, no. It looks like you're, whatever you endure for 9 months, it's worth the quality of life that it gives you or earns you for the next 40 years after you are born. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And the apostles, they understood it. Why else would someone like Paul allow himself to be flogged and beaten and stoned and all these things that were happening to him? Do you understand? He said that the sufferings of the present world cannot be compared with the glory. The sufferings, the current sufferings, cannot be compared with the glory that is to come. That the glory, what is coming after we die is worth far more, and every price we pay in current suffering to earn it is worth it. Hallelujah. That whatever it is worth it. It's worth it. Mothers go through the same sacrifice. If the doctor says, don't eat this until your baby is born. Easy. Once the doctor tells you, when you eat this, it will do this to your baby and jeopardize the baby's life after birth. It is very easy for everyone to sacrifice. Do you understand? I know a certain lady, the doctors told her that the way the thing is, we have to hang you upside down. You have to, you know, she had to be in the bed upside down. Her head would go down and her legs were kind of up just to keep the baby in good condition until the time was due to be born. Wow. Yeah, and she did it. Easy, 9 months. Wow. Because what is that compared? What is that compared? Do you understand? She was just saying, what is 9 months? What is 9 months compared with having a baby that is deformed for life and having so many troubles and so many problems? She said, no, I'd rather take this present discomfort. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And the apostles, they were stoning Stephen in Acts chapter 7. The Bible says, as they were stoning him, he lifted up his hands. He was smiling and saying that, I see the heavens. Oh, glory. You know, you have to have a hope beyond this earth to be able to live a meaningful Christian life. Do you understand? That defies challenges and difficulties, persecutions and troubles, people calling you names, people mocking you, people laughing at you, people looking down on you because you're a Christian or because you're a minister. You know, I remember a long time ago, I went to one of these functions in somebody's house, and then there was an elderly woman in that place. And when she was introduced, or when I was introduced as the pastor, she just found some opportune time, and then she asked me a question. She said, so young man, so you can't find any other work to do? Huh? You can't find any other work to do? You see, because she pitied me that I'm a young man, and I mean, I'm young now. I was much younger then. And she felt, I mean, how can a young man choose preaching? How can you say that you're a pastor? A young man. You know, but and Paul described it. Paul said that we are the offscouring of this world. You know, that people don't respect us, but it's for a short season. It's for this life. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's for this life. It's for this life. The Bible says anybody who will live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. The Bible says you are not of this world. That is why the world does not know you. Jesus told us. He said that, look, this world does not know you because you are not of this world. your lifestyle, your values, and so on are not and should not be consistent with the lifestyles and the values of the people of this world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so, the Father Abraham was explaining the difference to this fellow. And then he went on to say, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. There is a great gulf fixed. Do you see? We are the ones who make these things that are mobile and these gates that move. But this particular gate, God has made it fixed. Do you understand? And there is no scaling. He says, it's such that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither they can they pass to us that would come from thence. That means no one can come from where you are to us. And no one can come from hence to thence. Do you see? So no movement from thence to hence and no movement from hence to thence. Hey, so you must choose your hands or your thens now. Because when it happens, there will be no chance to go and alter that destination. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And then he says, then he said, so the rich man said, all right, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him, please send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren. You see, now the rich man starts to think and he starts to realize that the opportunity for alteration of one's eternal destiny actually occurs before they start to experience eternity. Do you understand? That means the only chance is really before they die. Isn't it? Before they die. So he said, I want you to send them. Send them or send him to my father's house. Do you see? And I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So one of the reasons why we have been left here, one of the reasons for preaching is to prevent people from coming into this place of torment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the reasons why people preach, one of the reasons why God calls people even to preach is so that people will be given a chance to escape this torment. Hallelujah. Because when you die without Christ, you are either going into this torment or you are going into this comfort. Hallelujah. I pray that you go to the place of comfort. Hallelujah. That you be determined that when you die, you go to the place of comfort. Do not allow this short life here. Always think of this life as 9 months. Think of this life always as 9 months. Do not allow this short life here to rob you of the longer life of comfort. Hallelujah. And do not allow anything you do here in this short life to rob you of the longer life of comfort. That is what these pregnant women do. That is why they don't allow any activity, even what is necessary, to rob them of the longer life of comfort. That is why they wear the things they wear. Do you understand? Because every human being here has to be clothed if they are in their right mind. Isn't it? Yeah. Now, if you know her, she didn't used to wear these kinds of clothes. Isn't it? Yeah. But now she needs to wear these baggy clothes, you see, just to make room and allow. Why doesn't she wear her tight jeans and just you know, and push this thing in and just, you know, just get up and just push it up and then just, you know, and then Pastor Charles will be holding it while she finds the belt. Call Pastor Charles, come and gather this thing for me. Then Pastor Charles would come and hold it like that. Then she would get the belt and put it in there. The thing is, she must endure this current discomfort. Because the life that is coming after is the longer life. And she's living now for the longer life. She's enduring discomfort and enduring pain. She's enjoying, sometimes she's feeling hot when everybody is cold, and she's feeling cold when everybody is hot. But she's enjoying all of this to make the longer comfort possible. Hallelujah. You and I will have to endure some things in order to qualify for the longer comfort. We'll have to make some sacrifices in order to experience the longer comfort. And it is worth it. Every sacrifice that you have to make to avoid the torment. See, the rich man, he was thinking differently now. He said, somebody needs to go and tell my brothers. Somebody needs to tell my brothers, five of them. They need an evangelist. They need an evangelist. They need an evangelist. They need someone to go and tell them. Think about it. I mean, someone from hell is suggesting a mission. Do you understand? And is telling Father Abraham to make that mission possible. And he says he chooses even the preaching topic that must be preached. He said that the way things are, the most relevant message is how to avoid coming here. That is the message. Please, don't let him go there and preach about anything else. No, it's not about how to have three cars or how to have a house or even how to live at peace with your wife. So forget about their wives. Forget about their husbands. Forget about all those things. Just right now, look, they say torment. They are tormented in their marriages. Let them get here and learn the true definition of torment. Let them come here and learn the true definition of torment. They will find their marriages luxury. He said, the only relevant message, please, Father Abraham, if you send somebody to my brothers, let him not preach even about marriage. Let him not preach about how to raise children. Let him not preach about what? Smart goals, prosperity, financial cycles, getting out of debt. He says, please, not any of those messages. Please, just teach them one simple topic, how to avoid coming to this place of torment. That's the only message, please. When you meet my five brothers. So right there, it defines for us what our real message must be. What do you think? It defines for us what our most important message must be. Every pastor, every now and then, must revisit the same old message. Because how many different ways can you preach about how to avoid the torment of hell? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So we need to talk about heaven and we need to talk about hell. And we need to have discussions with our friends about heaven and hell. Whether they can relate with it or not. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a relevant matter. I mean, if everybody dies, all people die, I mean, then it means we must all, for something that so vastly affects humanity, shouldn't we look into it a little bit? Because anything that affects a lot of people has attracted a lot of research and a lot of attention, isn't it? Like Ebola and all these things. Do you see what I'm saying? They attract a lot of research and a lot of, you know, so something that affects not some people. Ebola doesn't affect 100% of people. It affects only a small percentage of people relative to the population of the world. So something that is the fate, guaranteed fate of 100% of humanity. I think it's a worthy discussion. I think it is worthy discussion. It's a very relevant subject to discuss with anybody. What happens after you die? I think it's a very, very relevant subject. What do you think? If interest in other planets is a relevant interest, if what is going on in Mars, it's a relevant interest. You think about it. Because you live here, you don't seem to be very interested in what is happening in Compton or in your straight out of Compton, so what? But people have been able to find justification for going out of this world to see what is in another world. Do you understand? You see what is there? Is that another globe? You see, and who lives there? What do they look like? Do they drive? Do they fly? I mean, what is the whole deal out there? Well, if people are interested in such a thing, then I'm telling you that bringing up a discussion about what happens to you after you die is a very relevant subject matter, worthy of any audience. And whoever the person is, we must never be ashamed. We must be bold, because it's a fact. Do you understand? If it's a fact that you will die, then you better be interested. You see, the Bible says it is appointed unto man, you know, once to die, and after that, judgment. If I was standing here and I say to you that in 3 minutes, somebody is going to walk through this door, do you understand? And she will have a parcel for Kobe. Then in 3 minutes, someone walks through the door. What is your next expectation? You should, and you are absurd if you don't have such an expectation. Because I gave you two things. I said in 3 minutes, somebody is going to come through the door. And the person came through the door in 3 minutes. Then in that same breath, I said, when he comes through the door, this is what he will do. You will be a fool not to prepare for that. So if I say to you that it is appointed unto man once to die, and that seems to be a fact. Nobody gets to die more than once. Wants to die. And that seems to be what happens to all humanity. Everybody seems to die. Then, the other thing I said about what happens to people must be of interest to you. At least you must be willing to look into it. That if after death is judgment and death occurs, then your next big issue must be judgment. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? I'm almost finished. So he says, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know, and Father Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. He says, they already have people that are preaching to them. See, that's why we Christians cannot joke with the gospel. Because we are all that some people will have. We are all, God is not sending any extra person from somewhere. God is not getting ready to send people, you know, some extra experience. Or some extraordinary preacher who is coming to bring them a message. Do you understand? That will make them believe. All that people will ever have is people like us. Like you and me.
Amen.
Amen. It says they have Moses and they have the prophets. The Bible says God gives to everyone someone by whom you believe. Do you understand? Someone by whom you believe. You just pause over there quickly. Go with me to this scripture. Let me show you. Go to 1 Corinthians. Just 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and from verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Can you see that? Yeah. So these people were trying to make a big deal. They were trying to say that, you know, I got converted through Paul. And another one said, I got converted through Apollos. And they started to argue and they started to say, it matters. Do you understand? That whether your conversion is a Paul brand or your conversion is an Apollos brand, it does matter. There is a difference between a Polish Christianity an Apollos type of Christianity. Do you see what I'm saying? And so Paul was somewhere, and then he had type of these arguments going on, that people were now making a difference between a Pauline salvation and then an Apolline salvation. Do you understand that? What type of salvation do you have? Who is the one through whom you believed? You see, so Paul said, listen, let's settle this nonsense. He says, who is Paul and who is Apollos? They are just the channels. They are just ministers by whom you believed, just as the Lord gives to everyone. So God gives to everyone a minister by whom you believe. God gives to everyone a minister by whom you believe. So when you are a Christian, and when you're a Christian minister, you know, the Bible says we are all ministers because he has given all of us the ministry of reconciliation. So a person who possesses a ministry is a minister. So if God has given you a ministry of reconciliation, that makes you a minister. Do you understand? Now, if God has given you to someone, he says that ministers by whom you believe. So if you are a minister, then chances are that God has made you or assigned you to some people, and there are some people whose salvation depends on your ministry. Wow. What do you think? Yeah. That is why we need to rise up and be sure that we don't let anyone go to hell whom God had hoped would avoid hell by meeting us. God made him sit next to you, hoping that he would have a chance. God made him live next to you, hoping that he would have a chance. God made you miss your way, or made him miss his way and come and ask you for directions, hoping that that would be his door for salvation. We need to recognize that we are all that some people will ever have. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That you need to take it seriously. That you are all that some people will ever have. And because of that, you shouldn't joke with their salvation. And he said, the next verse, he says, and he said unto them, nay, Father Abraham. Because Father Abraham said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. They have Moses. They have the prophets. Said they have Zola. Yeah, they have Zola and they have any. They have Pastor Charles. They have Paul. They don't need any other experience. They don't need anybody to come from the dead. As long as Pastor Charles is there, they don't need anybody to come from the dead. Let them hear him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let them hear him. You see? And then the guy said, no. You see, the preacher matters. You see? It must be very bad in hell for someone to keep arguing up to this point. He said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. If one went to them from the dead, they will repent. You know, and he said unto them, him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Because the problem they have then would not be a problem related to who is preaching. The problem is they have a hearing problem. They will not listen, regardless of who is speaking. Hallelujah. You can see that we are not obligated to make people listen to us. Our job is to tell them. Our job is to tell people. Our job is not to make them believe. Because Father Abraham didn't seem to be bothered that the rich man thought that if we change the preacher, it might, you know, do something. So the way my brothers are, perhaps a preacher from hell, a preacher from Abraham's bosom, you know, Abraham's Bosom Ministries International. Some preacher like that, if they could get a preacher like that, someone from the bosom of Abraham direct. Oh, Father Abraham, I'm sure, guaranteed results. Father Abraham said, no, that's not how it works. If they don't listen to the preachers they have, they usually would not listen to someone from here.
It will make no difference. It will make no difference. Hallelujah. Some people wonder why God will send people to hell. Like recently when I met a guy, when we went on outreach one of the nights on Hollywood Boulevard, and the guy was saying, man, that God is going to send you to hell. I mean, to hell for eternity? What? What kind of a God would do that? Send you to hell for eternity? I mean, 1 or 2 years, fine. But I mean, like for eternity? You can't be serious. He said, for a few sins? Not to go to hell? No. He couldn't believe it. But God is serious about hell and heaven and who gets to come there. Hallelujah. When you have an opportunity to share Christ with someone, don't joke with it. Don't joke with it. When you are sharing Christ with someone, you are not recommending a sale somewhere. You see, you shouldn't handle it with the lightness that you would handle a suggestion that Macy's have reduced jackets. So go and get one. You see, you would handle such a matter with lightness. Do you see what I'm saying? Even though you may see the person desperately needs a jacket, but you still leave it up to him. Do you understand? The Bible says, knowing this terror, it says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade men. Paul said, look, we don't just say something and leave it up to them. We persuade them. We talk to them. We convince them. Because we know the terror of the Lord. We know what is waiting for them. The problem is sometimes we don't believe it ourselves. We don't believe that heaven is what it is, and especially hell is what it is. Hallelujah. Heaven doesn't have to be as beautiful as it is. Hell is just some place to avoid by all means. Do you see what I'm saying? That no matter what, you must not go to hell. Amen. Today you're a child of God. Hold fast to your faith. Amen. Hold fast to your faith. You must be determined that no matter what, I must make it. I must make it to heaven. I must not go to hell. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I must not go to hell. So he said to him that if someone goes from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Do you see? That is like someone convincing the baby in the womb that there's life after the womb. And the baby arguing and saying, nobody has come back from life into this womb to come and tell us what is here. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you think we need somebody to go from life back into the womb to convince a baby that you will be born and that there is life after birth? Huh? Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So, let us handle this gospel that God has committed to us. God is counting on us. Hallelujah. God is relying on us to be able to convince people. Amen. Next week, I'm going to share with you 15 things that happen to people after they die. Amen. So come back next week and we'll continue. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Wow. Are you blessed? Have you learned something today? Just bow your heads with me, everybody, and just begin to pray and think about yourself. Someone did their job. That's how come you got to be saved. Someone did their job. Will you also do your job so that someone does not have to go to hell? Because someone was faithful with what was given to him. Because of that, you got saved. Are you also going to be faithful with what has been given to you? In other words, as Father Abraham is telling
the rich man, they have Moses and the prophets. They have other ministers referring to you. Is he right that because of you, they will not go to hell? Is he right? Or is he so wrong because you will not tell them? I want everybody to take a moment to pray this afternoon and say, Lord, please, as many people whose salvation depends on me, grant that I be used to reach them. Let me not die from the face of this earth without doing my job. Pray to the Lord for grace to fulfill and to do your part. Anyone whose salvation depends on you will at least hear the word from you. They will at least hear the word from you. If their salvation depends on you, if God is counting on you for them to be saved, that mysteriously, somehow you and those people will come together. And that opportunity to share the word of God with them, whether you're going to meet them on a plane, meet them on a bus, meet them at school, meet them on the playground, meet them in the band, wherever you meet them, as long as their salvation depends on you, pray to the Lord that they will not miss their salvation. Whatever God has put in your hand for them, they will not miss it. It's a very important prayer, you know. Just pray that somehow God will mysteriously have you where he wants you. God will place you where he needs you. God will move you where he wants you. God will put you in that spot so that those people whose salvation depends on you will receive their salvation in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray that as many people whose salvation depends on my preaching will not miss their salvation. Let no one go to hell, Lord, who was meant to be saved through something that I would say, through something that I had to share. Oh God, I pray, if there have been any such people already, Lord, forgive me and give me mercy, oh God, and grant that there be no more of such people going to hell because I refuse to speak. I pray, oh God, that for everyone here also, the story will be the same. That as many people whose salvation depends on us, some of us are keys to the salvation of cities, some of countries, some entire families and entire households, I pray that we will not hold back in the name of Jesus. Help us. Use us in the name of Jesus. Oh God, use us in the name of Jesus. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me, Lord. Oh, into your presence, guiding me by the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit, teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. And I'm captured by your holy calling, set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, take me, hold me, and love.
yourself into God's hands. We're just closing. Just commit yourself into God's hands. Just pray, everyone, and say, please guide me by your Holy Spirit. To everyone whose salvation depends on me. To everyone whose salvation depends on me. Everyone who's waiting on me to be saved, Lord. Jesus, help me, oh God. Place me in front of that person. Supernaturally, just as you lifted up Philip and placed him before the Ethiopian eunuch, place us before the people. Place us in those places, oh God. In the name of Jesus. This afternoon, and you are saying, I want to be sure that I am prepared for heaven before I leave the service. I want to be sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. I want us all to say the sinner's prayer again, just to be sure that in case we missed anything anywhere, at least we're going out of this service prepared for our lives in eternity. Say with me, Lord Jesus, you are the one who spoke about being born again. That being born again is your idea. Because you say that except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want to go to heaven. No matter what, Lord, I want to go to heaven. When this life is over, whenever that will be, I want to be with you in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And based on my understanding now, my sins are the only thing that will take me to hell. So Lord, I come to you today. Let my heart be changed. Let my spirit be renewed. Save me from my sins. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Prepare me for heaven. Oh Jesus, only you can save me. Save me, Lord, by the blood that was shed on the cross. Wash me, cleanse me by the blood. Help me to live for you. Anything in my life that puts me in danger of going to hell, may that thing be purged out of my life. Lord, please remove it. Lord, please remove it. Anything about me that puts me at risk of going to hell, that puts me in danger of going to hell, please remove that thing from my life. Purge it out of my life. I want to go to heaven. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me to bring as many people along with me anyone whose entry into heaven depends on my ministry of reconciliation. I pray that I will not fail that person. May I not fail that person, Lord. May I not fail that person, Lord. But may that person have their opportunity. May that person have their chance, Lord, at being saved in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen.